Thank you very much.
You bet. Next item is item six, approval to accept the report on Latino Emergency Communications Project.
And as David prepares for his report, I would like to compliment him and the Latino community for working so collaboratively on this process. David's outreach into the community has been outstanding and has had a very positive overall impact on our relationships throughout the community with all of our groups.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Chairman Simon, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Krosnick, good morning. It actually is very much a privilege to come before you to give a positive report on some of the things that are occurring in regard to emergency communications in Stanislaus County. One of the first stops that I made after coming on board in October was to our friends over at El Concilio and the Hispanic Leadership Council to talk to them about formalizing a communications link between Stanislaus County Office of Emergency Services and the Latino community. We had informal relationships in the past, but what we wanted to really do was formalize the arrangement and see what we could do to develop and foster more communications between the two partners. When we first started to meet, I really want to give credit to El Concilio and Hispanic Leadership Council, and also Mr. Dale Butler, who is an old friend of ours, and Dale is the president of the Hispanic Leadership Council and really has been one of the drivers early on of this process. So Dale will be presenting briefly here today, and Dale, thank you for joining us. Also, Raul Garcia, the director of El Concilio, is here. And Raul was part of our core team, as well as Balbino Irizarry. Balbino, thank you very much. And a recent team member that has joined is Carolina Bernal from the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and we thank Carolina for being here as well today. We have added, after El Concilio and HLC, the Latino Community Roundtable, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and American Red Cross as partners, and we're going to continue to look for additional partners as part of this process. Our team members are including, you can see our different team members that we have here right now, starting with our core group and expanding from there. But some of the things that we really want to focus on are some of the key accomplishments that have occurred very specifically to this point. As of now, we have 24-hour contacts and formal relationship between the Latino community and OES. We have three leaders from the Latino community that are available 24 hours a day that have given us their personal cell phones, their home numbers, and we have kind of a call-down roster. In the event of a crisis situation, we're able to formally get contact with leadership of the Latino community. And this has been a very, very big step for us, and we appreciate their willingness to be available like this. One of the things that we've done as well is we've provided a full day of media training for our Latino partners. And you see pictured here is media personality Alberto Gonzalez, who actually came in with part of the training presentation to the community. And we appreciated the opportunity to begin to equip our Latino partners as well. One of the other things, that we have completed is a tour of the emergency operations in the dispatch center with our partners. Also, the El Concilio and HLC has reached out to us to let them know in the event of an emergency situation, if we want to have formal meetings with the Latino community, they have made their center available to us and would be happy to help facilitate that type of a meeting. The call to arms agreement, which is actually unique to the Latino community, has already been put into effect. What this is a way of the Latino leadership to reach out to the Latino community very quickly to get the word out of a situation. And we actually used that in this recent heat crisis, and it was very effective. I want to thank Dale for being the one to really initiate for this. Crisis communications training is another area that we've already completed. HLC and El Concilio came on board as partners in the project that we did with the Office of Homeland Security and OES to present the crisis communications training here in the community. And we had over a dozen Latino representatives that were at that training. We've also been working closely with the Latino community to update our media contacts to make sure that we have good, solid 24-hour information for all for all of the partner media entities that are out there. One of the challenges that we have is a lot of media is becoming syndicated, which means they don't necessarily broadcast locally, so it's difficult to break in with public service announcements or news. And so we have after-hours contacts 24 hours with groups like Entravision, which has three radio stations in our area here. Now, Dale Butler will give some comment in regard to the future of where we're going with this project.
Good morning, board members. Nick, CEO Robinson, Dale Butler with the Hispanic Leadership Council. In the area of creating emergency preparedness articles for the Latino media, These articles will be in Spanish and will cover food items and supplies that households should have on hand during disasters. Also, articles in Spanish are the role of our county office of emergency services and other county departments, for example, the public health department, related to the handling of countywide disasters will also be prepared for the Latino media. Moving down to providing basic first aid and CPR training to the Latino emergency team members, in that area, I should mention that we have approximately 14 or so individuals that are considered team members to develop this very important plan. We do plan to expand on the number of the individuals within that team. And it is important, of course, that these team members be well-grounded in first aid and CPR, as well as in the area of heart defibrillation training. Because these skills could be required during an actual emergency, we want to make sure that our team members are well-versed and skilled in those particular areas. It is hoped that either the county or the city fire or law enforcement agencies will fund this training, and it's really for a small group of individuals, or perhaps the training can be provided at no cost by other community organizations within the county. We'll move down to developing emergency contacts down to the neighborhood level throughout Stanislaus County. And in this particular area, our efforts will be devoted to identifying Spanish-speaking individuals throughout neighborhoods in the county who can act as providers of disaster-related information throughout the respective neighborhoods. This is going to be the provision of very, very keen disaster-related information to community individuals, and we want to do it neighborhood by neighborhood. So we need to go around the county and identify key individuals throughout Stanislaus County to be the main contacts for our team effort. We'll move down to participating in community affairs, radio, and television programs. And in this particular area, our goal is to identify members in the Latino community to serve as presenters and speakers at radio and TV stations. Additional media training will be required. In June of 2006, CEO Director of Communications David Jones provided an all-day media training session to seven members of El Concilio and the Hispanic Leadership Council. The training was well received. It was an all-day training session, as I indicated. Obviously, there's a real strong commitment on the part of our representatives to participate in this training because we feel it will make us be more effective in dealing with the media should we have a disaster, or when we do have a disaster. So hopefully this training will continue to be provided to additional team members as our team grows. And there will also be a need, of course, for refresher training. Future tours of Emergency Operations Center and Emergency Dispatch. We did have a tour that was provided, thanks to Mr. Jones, to our members. We had a limited number of individuals that attended this tour. Hopefully, as our team continues to expand, those individuals will also participate in these tours. Again, the reason for the tour is that we need to become extremely knowledgeable about the services that the county provides when a disaster occurs, and the more information we have, I think the more effective as team members we will be. Periodic reports to the Board of Supervisors will also be provided. Our thought in that area is not to come before the Board of Supervisors at regular intervals, but when disasters occur, we have had the experience of dealing with disasters, putting the team to work. Then we can come back to the board and present information, basically an evaluation of how effective or how not effective our team was in dealing with the disaster. We continue to expand our notification roster, and the idea there is to build capacity for Latino communications in crisis situations. Accordingly, our team will continue to expand as more response leaders are identified and assigned to help our Latino emergency, develop our Latino emergency communications plan. We will continue to refine preparation for disasters, and this is an area that will require a lot of work because we're really in the developmental stages of putting this plan together, And we realize that. We realize that we have a lot of work ahead of us. We do plan to schedule meetings between our respective organizations, those organizations that Mr. Jones highlighted for your information earlier, and of course the county, because obviously it's a team effort here. And by working together, we feel we can indeed refine our preparation for disasters, and we want to do that. In summary, developing a Latino emergency communications plan to respond in the event of disasters, we believe, is the first time ever in the state of California that such an undertaking has occurred. This is a great partnership effort between Latino community organizations and the county. I haven't seen anything like this done. If it has been done, it's been a little while, and I think it's very important that we highlight that fact. Already four Latino organizations are part of this process: HLC, El Concilio, Latino Community Roundtable, and the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And obviously we're working very closely with the county, and more organizations, Latino organizations, are likely to be added to the effort as we move into the future. The county's outreach efforts into the Latino community is particularly appreciated. We do value the great work that Mr. Jones has done with our group. He has been just a wonderful asset to us, and we feel that by putting this plan together, we will indeed be able to more effectively communicate with the population out there that doesn't speak English as well, or doesn't speak any English at all when we do have disasters. And this is very important to our organizations, and we know to the county as well. So I do want to thank the board for giving me the opportunity, and certainly thank the other members of our team and Mr. Jones for the wonderful cooperation that he has extended us.
And I'd like to just be very clear on this. I have truly appreciated the leadership that has come forward from the Latino community, their interest in this, their desire to be part of a coordinated effort to approach this. And I just want to thank Bill and Raul and the other team members, Balvino, and the other team members that are coming on board for their support with this as well. We look forward to really good things happening. We've already put this to good work, and there's more to come. And I just want to thank them for their leadership with this.
Okay, thank you, David. Thank you, Dale, for your presentation. Any questions? No questions, then we need a motion for approval.
I'll so move.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion is second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So ordered.
Thank you, Board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now I'll pass the time of 9:15. We'll go to the public hearing to consider the application of CarMax.
Good morning, Chairman Simon, members of the board, Nick Krosnick, and CEO Robinson. I'm Ron Freitas, Director of Planning and Community Development. With me, who will present the Planning Commission's recommendation for this project, is Sarah Lytle Penny. And with that, I'll turn it over to Sarah.
Okay. Good morning. Before you this morning is a request for a rezone. The location of this site is in the northeast corner of McHenry Avenue and Claritina Avenue, just north of Modesto city limits. The current general plan for the area is planned development. We've got some urban transition over here on the east side, and then again, city of Modesto to the south. And the current zoning for the properties involved are two expired plan developments, PD 56 and PD 255. To give you an idea of the surrounding area, we've got some other auto service and dealerships, and you've got some churches there to the north and to the east. The current site itself has a furniture warehouse on it, and it's also some RV storage you can see here in the northeast corner. The current proposal would actually replace everything that you see in this little red area with what we've got here. Access to the site would be off McHenry Avenue with a secondary emergency only access off Claritina. The proposal is for an auto dealership with some accessory service and cosmetic. Proposed landscaping has been reviewed by City of Modesto. It's done to their standards. These are proposed elevations for the site. Kind of a zoomed in version here. Okay. The Planning Commission did recommend approval for the project. Subsequent to the meeting, the Public Works Department met with the applicant regarding some clarifications on three conditions that were given. There's a memo at the end of your report from Nassau County Public Works Department providing revised conditions. And with that, that will conclude my presentation.
I might add that this is the site of the former Grossman's Home Improvement Center, and through that, since they went out of business, it's gone through several iterations of furniture stores and RV storage and other kinds of uses. So this looks like an improvement to that site. What Sarah didn't say is she spent a lot of time with the city of Modesto in dealing with access issues that the city raised, and those issues have been resolved to the satisfaction of everyone. So with that.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of the staff before we go to the public hearing?
One question. Is there adequate off-street parking for customers? I find a lot of car dealers in that area, there's not adequate parking for customers. Looking at the site plan, it looks like there's plenty of parking.
There is.
Yeah.
They have a program of how they bring the customer into the site and then move them around the site, so they encourage their off-site parking.
They've actually exceeded our ratio, our normal requirement. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Okay, this is a public hearing. We'll open the public hearing and the testimony from the applicants.
Chairman Simon and members of the board, my name is George Petrolakis, 1130 12th Street, Suite B here in Modesto. I'm representing CarMax Auto Superstores, Inc., the applicant for this project. With me today from CarMax, from the CarMax development team, Joe Yogman, their real estate manager, Jim Sliger, the development director, and Tom Owens from the local firm of Owens Design Consultants, the civil engineer for the project, and Gil Boss with the planning manager in my office. First, I really want to thank your staff. As Mr. Freitas indicated, there was a lot of work on this project, largely with the city of Modesto, but also just with your staff, with the applicant, to make it a good project. Mr. Freitas, your planning director, Sarah Lytle-Penny, Carol Maben, Ron Cherrier, Jack Doring from Mr. Krosnick's shop all had a role in bringing this to fruition. I think it was a great example of a good level of cooperation between the county and the city of Modesto, really an excellent level of cooperation on the issues. They were, some of them were difficult and took some time to work through, but they were all worked through, as Mr. Freitas indicated. So I really want to thank your staff for the hard work and thorough work by your staff. We're really here today as a resource for you if you have any questions. We agree with the staff report. We agree with the revised conditions and would ask that the motion approving it include those revised conditions brought forward by your Public Works Department. They were largely to clarify some issues because Modesto is building an expressway through there on Clarentina, and we were just trying to clarify some issues there, and I think that went very well. Just a few items to keep in mind as you consider this application. As Mr. Freitas indicated, this has been a long urbanized corner. We think we're putting it to a more productive use there in McHenry and Clarentina. It has gotten rather unsightly over the years, and I think this will be a lot better, a lot more attractive use for that corner. We're locating the use for an auto center in an appropriate place. As you know, this North McHenry area has been a long time auto-oriented development, and this fits in there very, very nicely. Additionally, this corner is a very critical part of the traffic corridor for the north part of Modesto and the north part of the county. McHenry State Route, you know, is State Route 132, and then you have Clarentina. There's a city expressway plan in the area, which includes a rather sophisticated urban interchange there at the corner, and the CarMax site plan accommodates either of the options being considered by the city of Modesto. So there are no buildings and areas where the city may want to build this urban interchange. It'll help the traffic flow through the area. I think the way this project is handled, has been handled, really ensures that some of the mistakes that have been made in the past at different very critical traffic locations are not being made here. And finally, I think both recommendations from your staff and from the city led to some enhancements of the project that CarMax was happy to do. In sum, we think it's a very nice use of a crossroads location in the community, very important for traffic flow, which is accommodated. And we request your approval of the rezone with the revised conditions requested by your staff in the memo dated August 10th. Mr. Yogman has a few comments from CarMax, and then we'll be available for any questions you have. Thank you.
Thanks, George.
Good morning. My name is Joe Yogman. I am real estate manager with CarMax. We are delighted. Oh, first of all, my address, 12800 Tuckahoe Creek Parkway, Richmond, Virginia. We are delighted to be here this morning. We are looking forward to bringing our transparent, customer-friendly, no-haggle retail, automotive retail policy concept to Modesto. We are also pleased to be among, for the second year in a row, among Fortune Magazine's 100 Best Places to Work in America and 200 Most Admired Companies in America. So we are proud of what we've done, and we look forward to being in the Modesto community. We thank staff very much for all their work, particularly Ms. Lytle-Tinney. We accept all conditions as amended, and we are here, as our counsel said, to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Hearing none. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that the extent of your presentation, George? Okay. Is there anyone here to speak in addition to those who have already appeared? Being none, then I will close the public hearing and return it to the board for action. I'd like to make the first comment, since this is in my district. It started out with the hardware store, as you said, the multi-purpose hardware store. Over the years, I've had a multitude of complaints from people in that area of the deterioration of that property. Over a period of time, we probably called on at least four or five tenants, asking them to clean the property up, demanding, in fact, that we would clean it up for them. It lasted about a week, and then things started to go downhill again. So to have a permanent facility there of national stature and the new buildings and cleaning it up, it's an ideal place for it. It's on Automobile Row. It's not placing it out in some outlying district to create more traffic, but the traffic's already there for people who search for automobiles. So for me, and it's an ideal location. Any other comments?
Motion for approval.
We have a motion for approval. Do we have a second?
Okay.
We have a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So ordered.
Thank you.
Thank you. Correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the California State Department of Transportation regarding an open house at the Salida Public Library for the SR 219 Kernan Avenue widening project today, August 22, 2006, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay, we acknowledge receipt of this notice.
This board has received a notice from the California Air Resources Board regarding the public hearing to consider the adoption of the California's heavy-duty diesel in-use compliance regulations.
We refer the Department of Public Works and Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received the 2005-06 Stanislaus County Grand Jury Final Report.
Acknowledge receipt of this report.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of these claims and refer them to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Any board member have any report?
I do, Mr. Chairman. For several months now, I've been tracking Assembly Bill 2253. This bill deals with increased penalties for illegal dumping. It would be a great benefit to the county. This bill has passed the Assembly, been through the Senate and passed there with some amendments, and has now went through the Assembly again and worked out the minor differences between the two. As my understanding from Assemblyman Cogdale's office, that it's on the way to the governor. I haven't really confirmed that yet this morning, but I think it's on the way now. This particular bill would increase penalties for illegal dumping. It would raise the penalties from infractions to misdemeanors for certain amounts of garbage, which would make it a lot easier for us to prosecute somebody.
And it also would make it legally possible now for us to impound automobiles, which we have some difficulty in doing. I'll track this. If it's on the way to the governor, I would like to have the CEO take a look at that and perhaps send a letter of support. I've been through the bill. I've watched it for months. I see only positive things in it for the county to help us deal with the problem that we have with illegal dumping, which is just countywide.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else have any item? Not, then we'll go to the legislative, fiscal, and management report.
Yes, I would like to report first that that we are drafting a letter requesting the governor's signature on AB 2253. It will come from your CEO and will be out this week. Specifically on today's agenda, however, we also have a request for the chair's signature on a letter opposing the revised guidelines for the allocation of Assembly Bill 142 flood control funding. This funding of $500 million in a bill that's already been chaptered had previously been designated rather loosely. The revised guidelines established for the allocation of the flood control funding, which is primarily for infrastructure levy improvements, would exclude Central Valley counties south of San Joaquin County. And as you well know, we have a number of issues relative to our San Joaquin and Tuolumne River levee system. Overall, about 75 miles of levee that is maintained at one level or another. And certainly, we have a number of areas that pose significant risk in our community. This letter would oppose the revised guidelines and request the agency to California Department of Water Resources to include the San Joaquin Valley counties in the allocation of the $500 million. We have been working for some time now with Public Works Department to identify our levees that are currently at greatest risk and are on the verge of sending a request for funding to Department of Water Resources to address some of the levy concerns that we have.
Okay, thank you. Any other items?
So
if not, then...
Do you need a motion to authorize that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Also moved.
We have a motion?
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. That concludes our agenda, and the meeting is now adjourned.